reading to you from the 14th chapter of Hosea and the 9th verse. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and of course, you know, I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, I just saw on television where the people in New York are buying sleeping pills, and they're going to psychiatrists, and I just sat there and I thought, well, why don't they come to Jesus? Friends, that's your only hope. That's my only hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you know somebody that's troubled tonight, why don't you tell them, look, I want to tell you about my friend. You don't have to be a converted drunk, but you have to have a testimony of God's redeeming grace. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Maybe a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Kind Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and our hearts are troubled not because of you, but because of silly people that won't listen. They're told, have been told by preachers all over the world for centuries, that there was going to be a time coming when our wonderful Savior was going to return. And sure, Lord, we know that your return is pretty near, and oh, how we look forward to that. But Lord, there's so many, many people unsaved tonight. God, our ministry don't reach very far, but we sure try to reach people in prison and every other place. Now, Lord, you know the spiritual, physical, and financial needs of all of our listening family. God bless them. God bless the leaders of our country. God bless our men and women overseas and here in America. Oh, God, bless them. Now, Father, I pray that you'll take care of the needs of this ministry. Hide me behind the cross. And, oh, God, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, tonight I'm going to preach a message again on the power of God. God has a power to give, and he has a power to keep. He has a power to uphold, and a power to calm, a power to equip, a power to prepare, and a power to use. A couple of weeks ago, the quartet, my wife and I, were in Sterling prison facilities. One of the guards escorted us to the place where we were going to hold our service, which was, seemed to me, like a mile and a half. That's an exaggeration. But you know, friends, he sat through the whole services. And as we were going back to the front gate, the guard, who is a born-again Christian, put his arm around my shoulder and said, Cecil, now that's what he said, dear friends. You were a blessing to those inmates tonight. You assured them that there was hope for their lives. He said, these men need more sermons on encouragement and not so much hellfire brimstone. Listen, I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but oh, I do try to communicate Christ with those men and women because That is their only hope. In fact, friends, that is a hope of the world today. Oh, yes, the world is in a turmoil. But Christian friends, our God is in control, and please don't forget it. Now, let's talk about this power to give. And I read in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When Billy Graham gets up to speak, people stop and listen. God gave Billy Graham the power and the anointing, and God has blessed him with millions of souls over the years. But I'm going to tell you something. This power is for every born-again person. Hey, God is no respecter of persons. These are spiritual gifts from God. Many people believe that God only calls preachers to share the gospel. Listen, every man or woman who names the name of Jesus are called to serve him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He tells every Christian to be witnesses. But how many do just that? Some will say, that is what we pay our preachers. Shame on you. Shame on you if that's the way you believe. God has the power to keep. And I read in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time, on the last time. When you become born again, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If we are saved by faith, are we kept saved by good works? Now think about that. That theology is what a lot of Christians believe. And I'm not saying they're not Christians. Only God has the keeping power. He said, no man shall be able to pluck thee out of my hands. Oh, friends, believe me, I feel sorry for people who have no assurance of their salvation because it's there. It sure is, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. That does not say that you think that you have eternal life. It says that you may know you have eternal life. Now, what's so hard to believe about that? Either you do or you don't. Now, this is what Jesus said. Now, we better believe him. Well, a man believes assurance is not to be had now. I've heard people, you can't tell now. Well, what's it say in John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Did you hear that, friends? And you know, Jesus, you won't come into condemnation. You won't go. You're not going to be on the road to heaven today and on the road to hell tonight. If you think you are, read it over. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The minute you receive Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Jesus writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and that settles it. For how long? For time and eternity. Oh, listen, if you have been saved, God has the power to keep you for time and eternity. How do I know this is true? Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, God's Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we are in fact the children of God and will be kept through all eternity. Oh, how, don't that just make you want to jump up and down for joy? It does me. Boy, oh boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to depend on my good works. I don't depend how many times I say praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus. Oh, friends, he has the keeping power. Listen to me. I told you at the beginning of the broadcast that the psychiatrist's Davenports are filled to capacity. People are buying sleeping pills. They're buying things to calm their nerves. And I feel sorry for them. I'm not faking. I'm not making fun of them, beloved. Listen to me. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, after this attack on the World Trade Building, people are just frightened. They're afraid to fly. They're afraid to get on buses. And that is what the terrorists want you and I to do. Now, beloved, if you don't know Jesus, you got a right to be frightened. You bet your life, and you've got a right to take pills and go to shrinks. But when you put your trust in Jesus, you got a whole new ball game. If you would read the Word of God and start trusting him, I trust our government, I trust our armed forces, but they can be wrong. This Bible is truth, and you can trust your soul that this book is true. Someone said, you can take it to the bank. Well, there's not too many bankers, I suppose, who are Christians because their God is money. See, the terrorists want us to be scared, but you see, friends, they serve a false God, but we who know Jesus serves a true God. Now, am I going to be stupid and say, I know that we will win this war? Hey, it's all in God's hands. Do you remember that song, He Has a Whole World in His Hands? Oh, He has all the little bitty babies. He sure does, and that's true. Oh, by the way, God will not suffer us more than what we can bear, but with us offer escape. Instead of being afraid, we should be praising God for his mercy and his grace and get on with our lives. You know, folks, every time a soul is saved, that means the coming of the Lord is shorter. When that last soul is saved, that's going to be saved, Jesus is coming back. Friends, are you ready for the second coming of Christ? If not, get ready, because it's soon going to happen. Someone said, well, Cecil, you know, they've been saying that he's coming back. Hey, wait a minute. You take the Old Testament. Everything that the Old Testament told us has been fulfilled in the New Testament. That Jesus would become born in a barn, born of a virgin. All these things this, the Old Testament told us, and it has already come to pass. Jesus is coming back. Pretty quick, friends. Do I know the time? Of course I don't. The Bible said he will come as a thief in the night. Two will be in bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be out in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Why? Well, there'll only be one left because he's the one that knew Jesus, or she's the one that knew Jesus. Can you imagine, beloved? You're on an airplane, you're flying from San Francisco to Tokyo, and all of a sudden, the pilot and the co-pilot has disappeared. Wow, what's going to happen? Well, that plane's going to go down, sure enough, because they were snapped up when the rapture came. And they went on to be with the Lord. Friends, it's no joke. Jesus is coming back. And I hope and pray that you'll be ready. And the only way, beloved, you can be ready for that time is if you put your trust in Jesus. That's the only way. Now, he has the power to equip his children. Now, I read in Ephesians 6:10, Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Have you ever heard this song? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going before. The world has no hope because they do not have a Savior or a leader. Now here's what you need to do. You need to put your trust in Him right now. Before this broadcast is over, after we finish speaking, we're going to extend an invitation to those of you who are not ready, those of you who are lost in your sins. And beloved, listen, I'm not picking on you. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only sinless person who's ever on this earth. So don't feel that we're picking on you, because I was lost. Boy, and I on road to hell, and I was an alcoholic on top of that. What a horrible feeling. Now, in Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of might. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This alone should comfort every believer's heart. They talk about the strength of the Taliban. They will fail. Bin Laden will fail. And evil will pass away. You know, friends, I was in the roofing business for many years. I had a very successful business. Now, I didn't take a bulldozer up on that roof to put the roof on, because that's not the kind of equipment you take on a roof. We use bulldozers on the land, on the earth, to move earth. Now listen, God equips each one of His children for certain jobs. Bill Adelon, Tex Freeman, and I are called to, and the quartet and my wife are called to prisons. If we were not called to prisons, I will guarantee you I would not go. Now, God equips men to be pastors. He equips men to be evangelists. He equips men to be Sunday school teachers and deacons, and He equips everyone for. No one's left without something. You have at least one talent. Now, listen, friends, listen to me very carefully. Some of you will not agree with me, but whether you do or not, it's still the truth. The reason we're not seeing souls saved in our revivals is because the churches are using the wrong instruments. They're using pastors instead of evangelists. Now, this is not to put pastors down, because a real God-called pastor has a lot harder job than an evangelist. Believe me, I've done both, and I was not equipped to be a pastor. God has a power to prepare, and I read in Ephesians 3:16 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I read in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and be not weary, and they shall walk and be not weary. That's what I'm praying for our men and women overseas and for our leaders. They'll walk and be not weary. Oh, friends, when I was preaching revivals down in Virginia, this lady was Tom Baird's sister-in-law, and they had a quartet. And they invited us over to their house. I was preaching in their church that night, and they invited us over to the house. And she was dying of cancer. And there was a book there I was reading, and she said, "You like that book, Cecil?" And I said, "I sure do." And she wrote that in that book. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as angels. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be weary. Listen, friends, that's what you and I have to do today. We have to lean on the Lord. We have to trust Him. Listen, are you having health problems tonight? Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Just remember that, friends. Boy, I tell you, when I was in the hospital and so sick, that came to me so many times. And listen, let me ask you another question. Are you afraid? Let's listen to what it says in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is Almighty God speaking. Do you believe it? I certainly do. Well, let me ask you another question. Have you lived a wicked life? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. One day I was a no-good drunk. 3 years later, I was pastoring a church. You know, one day I met a carpenter friend that I used to work with, and I used to drink with him. We hadn't seen each other for several years. And he said, "What are you doing nowadays, Cecil?" I said, "I'm pastoring a church in Corbett." He started laughing and cursing. "So this is your new game, huh?" He said, "I should come out to your church and tell them what a hypocrite you are. You were a no-good drunk a few years ago." I said, "You're right. But son, I met Jesus, and I accepted him as my personal Savior. I had never been the same. My life never been the same." I said, "I wished you would come out to my church and tell these people the life I used to live. That would just make them more happy that they had a pastor been there." Well, friends, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When we receive Christ, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us our lives are not our own. We are purchased with a price. If you're still afraid, read John 14:1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, he's given us power for us to use. Now, I read in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." Now, beloved, this is where the rubber hits the road. Don't tell me you are afraid to witness. This is God's promise that this is all equipment that we need for a worldwide campaign. Without God's Holy Spirit, we are powerless. There are those who boast that they're the only ones who know God's Holy Spirit. And then what I do, I always hawked up to them, I say, "Well, sir, when was the last time you led a soul to Christ?" Most of them don't know what we're talking about. They're so busy trying to get spiritual that they don't know that God has a job for them to do. Dear friends, I don't know when Jesus is going to return. However, we know that he's coming back. We are commanded by the Lord himself that we are to go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. To recap this message, God has given us the power to give, the power to keep. He has given us power to uphold, and he's given us a power to be calm. He's given us power to equip. He has given us power to prepare, and he's given us power to use. I hope this has encouraged those of you who have been frightened about the future. And if you are unsaved, I pray it has given you the courage to come to Christ while there's still time. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow, beloved, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I know this to be a fact, friends. Tonight, Jesus is standing with outstretched arms saying, "Come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I'll give you peace," or "I'll give you rest." You say, "Cecil, I'm too bad a sinner." Well, why did he say this? "He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out." Are you tired of being a loser? Then come to Jesus and become a winner. Friends, I know a long About 6 weeks before I accepted Christ, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but it's a truth. I'd been drinking all day, and I came home with this bottle of whiskey or something, and I sat it on the table. And my wife was so discouraged with me. She was so unhappy with me, and I don't blame her. I just thank God I've still got her with me today. I said, you know, Jean, what I would do if I had my life to live over? She said, what? I said, I'd be a hellfire brimstone preacher. And you know, about 6 months later, I was saved. 1 year later, God called me to preach. That must have been on my heart. Friend, I don't know how I could tell you how happy I am that some of these things has happened in my life. Oh, I've been in car wrecks. I've been in and out of the hospital, heart attacks, you name it. But, oh, friends, I'm so glad I have a Savior, someone that loves me and someone's concerned. But, you know, he's concerned about you tonight, too. He sure is. Now, if you don't know Jesus, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head right now. If you feel a little tugging at your heart, I don't want you to pray this prayer unless you feel a very need. Don't you dare pray it. But if you feel this tug in your heart and you feel a great need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, bow your head to me right now and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, friend, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. Oh, but I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Bring your sins to Jesus tonight. If I can help you spiritually, get on the phone and call me, would you? I am concerned about your life. God bless you.